This is Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook of Calvary Baptist Church. On today's edition.
Well-built life must be built on the right foundation, but also will be tested by storms. A well-built life will be tested by storms. And the reality is, of course, all lives are going to be tested by storms, but it's important to understand that the well-built ones, those who are built on God's Word, those who are built on Christ, that's no exception. Being built on the right foundation is no exception to the storms that will come.
Nobody escapes this life without being sifted through with some storms. As you listen to today's message from Pastor Dave, he shares with you the importance of building your life upon a firm and right foundation. Storms in this life are inevitable, and they're used by the Lord to test our foundation. Pastor Dave encourages you that when you build your life upon Jesus, you're building upon a foundation that's solid. Any other foundation will crumble and not withstand the storms that will come. Now, here's Pastor Dave in the book of Matthew chapter 7 as he begins his message, A Well-Built Life.
Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. So the idea here, the idea that we're focusing on, is that a well-built life is a life that's built on the firm foundation of obedience to God's Word. I'll say that again. A well-built life is a life that's built on the firm foundation of obedience to God's Word. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the verses just before these, where Jesus, we saw what he had to say about those who said that they followed Jesus but didn't obey him. They spoke the words, they said, Lord, Lord, but yet they didn't do what Jesus told them to do. And we saw in those verses that Jesus is going to say to these people, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Workers of lawlessness. So we see that in it's our actions that prove our professions to be true or false. Or as Jesus put it just a few verses before that, you will recognize them by their fruit, by what comes out of our life, by what things are visible as we move through our lives. People will be able to determine whether we are actually followers of Christ or not. So in a similar way, in this passage, Jesus talks about those who hear his word. He talked about those who speak that they follow Christ. And these are those who hear his word, but they don't do what he says. They sit under his teaching. They'll listen to the scriptures. They will hear what he has to say. They will take it in. They may even be able to recite it, but they don't live it out. So what we're going to look at this morning is three different things about a well-built life. And the first thing is, a well-built life is built on the right foundation. A well-built life is built on the right foundation. Jesus says in verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, who doesn't want to be wise, right? We all want to be thought of as wise, not wise guys, but we all want to be wise. It says in contrast, though, in verse 26, it says that everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So again, you have two builders each building a house, and Jesus says one of them is building his house on the rock while the other is building his house on the sand. And building his house on the rock, what that means, the description of that is someone who hears what Jesus says, hears his instruction, hears his word, and does them. While building on the sand is those who hear Jesus' words and don't do them or ignore them. Notice that Jesus doesn't identify wise people by what they know. Wisdom is not equivalent to knowledge. I've heard it said that wisdom is knowledge put into action. Wisdom is not what you know, but what you do with what you know. That's wisdom. As Jesus says, these words of mine, those who hear these words of mine, in the context of him preaching this sermon, certainly the direct meaning would refer right back to the Sermon on the Mount. All of these things that he has been saying from the beginning of chapter 5 all the way here down towards the end of chapter 7. This would certainly also apply to all of the other words of Jesus that we see in the Gospels. And ultimately, it would refer to all of Scripture, because all of the Bible is his book. It is all his word. We certainly know that Jesus himself is referred to as the Word. John chapter 5, verses 39 to 40, Jesus says this, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life." And of course, while he's saying this, he's speaking of the Old Testament, the Scriptures that were written at the time that he would have been saying this. He says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet," he says, "you refuse to come to me that you may have life." They even said, these people he's talking to, search the Scriptures because they think in the Scriptures they have eternal life. But he's saying, but you're not doing what the Scriptures tell you to do. You're not coming to me. They hear the word of Jesus, but they do not obey. And again, Jesus says that the person who hears his words and obeys, it's like a wise man who built his house on a rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says this, "No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now here in Matthew 7, Jesus isn't referring to himself as the foundation on which we need to build our lives, but on his word. And that is not a contradiction. Jesus is inseparable from his teachings. Again, as I just mentioned in John 1, Jesus himself is referred to as the Logos. He is referred to as the Word. Obedience to him is the evidence that we are, in fact, his. Paul writes in Romans 2, verse 13, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified." Now again, along the lines of what we looked at last time, this is not saying that we are saved by our actions, that we are saved by our good works. What it is saying is that if we are saved, there will be good works. We can't be someone who's truly been transformed by the gospel and not be obedient to what Jesus is telling us to do. I remember a preacher once saying, he said, "If I came here," he said, "if I showed up to this event late, and I ran in from the back, and after the early start, and I ran up to the front because I was running behind, and I got up to the pulpit, and I said, 'Listen, I'm so sorry that I'm late, but you need to understand, on my way here, as I was crossing the street, I got hit by a Mack truck, and it took me a while to kind of get myself together and get here.' And if I'm standing here, you got to say, there ain't no way you got hit by a Mack truck, because if you got hit by a Mack truck, it would be obvious. There would be a change." So the bottom line is, how can we say we had an encounter with the living God and yet still live the same way we've been living before? And still look the same, be unchanged? This is what Jesus is talking about here. It's the doers, or Paul in Romans 2, the doers of the law who are justified. A wise person is going to build his house, his life, on the rock. But the foolish man builds a house as well. Now these two houses could be the exact same size, they could use the exact same floor plan, they could have the exact same building materials, they could be painted identically, they could look identical when both are completed being built. But beneath the surface, there's a very large difference. The difference is the foundation. The second house was built not on the rock, but on sand. Now think about that. Any of you like doing the beach, obviously we got some great beaches here on Long Island. And you go out, especially in the ocean, you know, you go out there and you got the really soft sand. And, you know, what's it like when you're walking on the sand? You know, your feet kind of sink in. I mean, you go running on the sand, it's that much harder because it has more resistance, or not enough resistance, I guess, and you get weighed down. But you go on the sand, you stand on the sand, and you wiggle your toes, and the sand shifts. You stand at the water, and the tide coming in, you feel the sand getting pulled out from under your feet, and new sand is put on top, and your feet get buried. They sink down just by standing there. It's an unstable surface. So who would ever want to build a house on sand? It makes no sense at all. So it shouldn't be a surprise that Jesus calls a person who would build a house on sand a foolish man. And again, this isn't intellectual foolishness. This man may be very intelligent. It's not intellectual, but it's moral, ethical, and spiritual. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." They hear it, they don't believe it. This is the way, really, the majority of our world lives today. They despise the wisdom and instruction of the Lord. There are those who think they can build their lives on any foundation that they want. Whatever foundation I want to build on is fine. All different ways to get to where I need to go. There's even those who think they don't need any foundation at all. Both of these people are wrong. Whether you're conscious of it or not, whether you know specifically what it is or not, you are building on some kind of foundation. It could be money, education, career, success, or family, but it is something. And the question is, will the house that's built on that foundation, will it stand? Jesus says there are many foolish people who hear the word but refuse to obey it. Understand, he's not talking about non-religious people. He's talking about people who would say that they're following Jesus, people who think that they're citizens of the kingdom. They sit under the teaching of the word. They hear it, but they aren't living it out. They're building their house on shifting sand, as the song goes that we were singing a few moments ago. They build their lives so often today on feelings and desires. I feel this way, so therefore I'm going to do this. What is truth, what is objective truth, doesn't matter because they don't believe there is any real objective truth. We see in Scripture, in the Gospels, that there's a crowd of well over 5,000 people. They mentioned 5,000 men would not have been including the women and children, so it could have been as many as 10 or 15,000 people. A huge crowd was following Jesus. And he was nice enough to feed them all. But by the end of the day, all of them, all the thousands of people had left him, except the original 12 disciples. Jesus says to them in John 6, 67, he says, "Do you want to go away as well?" And Peter, always the first one to answer, said to him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the foundation that we can build on. The Word of God is the only foundation that will withstand the storms of life." That's our next point. Well-built life must be built on the right foundation, but also will be tested by storms. A well-built life will be tested by storms. And the reality is, of course, all lives are going to be tested by storms, but it's important to understand that the well-built ones, those who are built on God's Word, those who are built on Christ, that's no exception. Being built on the right foundation is no exception to the storms that will come. In Jesus' story that he's sharing here, in this parable, these men not only have similar houses, but they have similar experience as well, almost an identical experience. Jesus says the same things for each of these houses as to what comes into their experience. It says, "The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house." The wind beat on both the house that was built on the firm foundation and the house that was built on the unstable foundation of sand. A few things we need to understand about the storms of life. First of all, they're inevitable. They're going to come. These two men, again, built very similar houses, but built them on two very different foundations. And the rain fell on both houses. The floods came up on both houses. The winds blew and beat on both houses. So whether you're a true believer with your life built on the foundation of God's word, or you're a pretender, just going through the motions, hearing the word, but not putting it into practice, the storms are unavoidable. You can be righteous or wicked. You can be wise or foolish. You can build on the rock or on sand. The storms are going to come. This goes against the false teaching of the prosperity gospel. It says if you have enough faith, everything's going to go your way. There's not going to be any financial storms. There's not going to be any health storms. There's not going to be any relational storms. It's all going to be good. But Job, I don't even have to say anymore, but Job. But Job, who certainly understood the storms of life, said this. He said, man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. The simple fact of life, storms are going to come. We've been promised that. Jesus promised that storms would come. He promised that in this world we will have tribulation. But the incredible thing on the end of that is, but I have overcome. Having faith doesn't prevent the storms. In fact, sometimes the storm is a direct result of our faith in God, of our following after Christ. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, all right, everybody, we're going to go over to the other side. We're going to go across the Sea of Galilee. We're going over to the other side. So they get in the boat and begin to sail across the Sea of Galilee. Before they reach the other side, they encountered a very literal storm. They were not in this storm because of disobedience. They were not in this storm because of a lack of faith. They were doing exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said his word, he spoke his word, and they obeyed it. They said, yes, we're in, we're following you. You say go, we're there. He was even with them on the boat. It wasn't like he left them behind. He was with them on the boat, and yet they found themselves in the midst of a horrendous storm. They thought they were going to die. Some of you may be in a time of calm right now. But realistically, let's face it, there's only three possibilities in life right now. We either have come out of a storm fairly recently, we are in the middle of a storm right now, or we're heading towards one. It may not be tomorrow, it may not be today, it may be not be next week, but it will come. Storms will come. And sometimes when those storms hit, it seems absolutely overwhelming. I know it does. It feels absolutely overwhelming. I mean, think about this storm that these two builders experienced, right? The way it's described, again, described very simply and quickly, but it says the rain fell. But this is not, it's not a brief shower. This is not a little like, oh, look, the grass is going to grow. This is a massive downpour because it says that the floods came. This is a torrential downpour. And the hurricane winds are beating against the houses. It doesn't say there's a gentle breeze blowing by. It's beating against the house. This is a horrendously awesome storm. And all of this is hitting at the same time. The rain's coming down. The floods are coming up. The wind is beating against the house. And it can be easy in those times because I'll be willing to bet that a good majority of people in this room right now have been through those kind of storms. And when we go through those storms, it's so easy, as everything is just crashing down all around us, it's so easy to think, where is God? What, Father, why have you forsaken me? We can feel alone. But when the rains fall, when the floods come, when the wind blows, Jesus is still in the boat. God is still in complete control. This is not something that slipped through his fingers, that he's not holding on to and controlling. And it's not that it has a purpose. God uses the storms to teach us to trust him, to teach us to obey him, to draw us back to where we need to be. As believers, we're strengthened as we're brought through these storms. When we're in the midst of it, though, we feel oftentimes that we might go under. We feel like, this is it. Not going to make it. But when he holds us up and he brings us through, we learn trust. We look to Him. Because in those times, it's in those times when the floods are rising and the rain is crashing down and the wind is beating against our house, figuratively speaking, that we look up and say, I can't do this. I'm helpless. Save me. I need you. I need you. Before the storms can strengthen us, they first need to expose who we really are. These two houses, again, look very similar. They could very well look identical from the outside. The major difference that there is between them isn't something that we'd be able to see because we're only able to see what's above ground. The only way to really see the difference in the foundation is when they get hit with a major storm. It's the same in our lives. Both of these men heard Jesus' word. Right, from the outside looking in, both of these men seemed to be wise. They probably went to the same church. They probably put money in the offering plate every week, both of them. They probably lived outwardly moral lives, and they claimed to know Christ. They both may have even served in ministry. If you knew both of them, you probably assumed they were both believers. They looked the same. But they were actually very different at a very fundamental level. One was wise, the other was foolish. One was saved, the other was not. One was righteous, the other was wicked. But nobody would know the difference if the storm hadn't hit. We've used the illustration many times before. If I have a cup in my hand, and you come by and bump into me, and let's say coffee spills out onto the floor. Well, the question could be asked, well, why is there coffee on the floor? Well, the common answer is, he bumped into me. That's why there's coffee on the floor. Well, that's not really the right answer. The right answer is there's coffee on the floor because there was coffee in the cup. If I had water in the cup like there is in this cup, then there'd be water on the floor. When you get shaken up, what's inside comes out and is revealed. So when we get shaken up in our life, when the storms come, then what's inside of our hearts spills out for everyone to see. That's why oftentimes when we may be a relatively self-controlled person and we don't react in anger, people wouldn't see us, but then something hits us unexplainable and we lash out. But we can say, I'm so sorry, that isn't me. It was because of this circumstance. Well, no, that is you. The circumstance just brought it out. And praise God that it did. Because now it can be dealt with. Now God can work on you by the Holy Spirit. It reveals what is true. It can be easy to fool people. It can be easy to fool. You can fool me every day. You can fool your family and friends. You can oftentimes even fool yourselves. But when the storm comes, it reveals what you are really made of. When your son is diagnosed with autism, when the doctor tells you have 6 months to live, when a literal storm like Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans wipes out everything you own, when those kind of squalls come through your life, that's when you begin to see how deep your roots really go. You don't know how real your faith is until you have to trust the Lord in the midst of a storm. Many of you know that my wife and I do have a son who was diagnosed with autism. He's 24 now, but when he was first diagnosed, my roots were revealed to not go very deep. It was a very difficult time, and I handled that particular storm of life very poorly. I saw that my faith at the time was shallow and it was frankly weak. And God has used our son's issues over the years to teach us and to grow us a tremendous amount over the years. I praise God for it.
Today's teaching in this Sermon on the Mount series may be at an end, but you don't have to stop studying God's Word. Pastor Dave Cook and all of us here at Road to Calvary encourage you to continue your own time in Scripture, seeking truth from every verse and chapter. You can continue reading the book of Matthew or turn to another book of the Bible. You just never know how God is going to reveal Himself to you through His Word. We're so glad you tuned in to Road to Calvary today, a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Riverhead, New York. We'd like to take a few minutes to ask you to partner with us in sharing the good news of Christ's love to the world. Would you commit to praying for Pastor Dave and the staff of Calvary Baptist Church? Pray that we teach truth and that we commit to following Jesus every day. Would you pray too for the listeners of Road to Calvary? It could be that someone is listening today for the first time and hearing the gospel message for the first time. Would you pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to lead people to know about the grace of Jesus? Thanks for praying, and thanks for tuning in today. If you'd like to learn more about the ministry of Road to Calvary, we invite you to visit our website, cbcriverhead.org. And if you're in the Riverhead area, join us this Sunday at 10:50 a.m. for worship. We'd love to connect with you. Find out all you need to know at cbcriverhead.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join Pastor Dave next time as he continues this series right here on Road to Calvary.